But we are so glad to have you here. David has his book table set up out here in this foyer over here. You know, I encourage you, he's going to tell you something about that, I'm sure. But I encourage you to go out. You know, you're just going to hear one message. David has got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of messages, and he has an anointing and things God has shown him in a lot of different areas that'd be a blessing to your life. And so we want to take advantage of this. You know, we are pretty much scheduled out for the year, but we don't have anybody scheduled right now for several months. Amen. And so we the teacher, the prophet, the apostle, the evangelist, all these different ones that come, you need all of those to be the kind of Christian that God has called you to be. And so I was thinking about David this morning. There's a lot of people you definitely can say this about, but you can't say it about everybody. But I was just thinking, David is real, you know. I mean, he's a real man, had a real life, real struggles, and used the Word of God and used his faith in God to deal with life just like anybody else, praise God. But he has used the Word of God and used his faith in God and believed God and stood on the Word of God and lives a victorious, overcoming life, praise God. An anointed Bible teacher of the Word of God, inspirational, amen. And so we always enjoy watching the different giftings and different anointings and the way God uses people differently. And what year did you graduate from Raymond, David? 1983, praise God. And so he's one of those Rhema graduates. Glory to God, amen. So would you just do something for me? Would you stand up one more time? I know you're all comfortable. But let's honor God and let's honor the man of God he's placed in our pulpit this morning. Let's give Reverend David Husky a big, big welcome back to Cleveland Christian Fellowship. Praise God, amen.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor Mark. Oh, you can be seated. If it wasn't for Jesus, we'd all be in a big mess, right? Thank God for Jesus. And, you know, I don't know how I'm going to preach after all those accolades there, Pastor Mark. I should have sent you more, I guess, huh? I'm kidding. And, you know, graduated in 1983 from the same Bible school that, you know, quite a few have, and started pastoring in Taos, New Mexico for 10 years. We saw a struggling church that God graced, and we saw over 1,000 people get saved in a 10-year period. And, you know, getting them saved was one thing, but getting people to grow was a whole nother challenge. And I'm really big on that, really big on... I love to see people get saved. It gets me going, but we're really... I'm sorry, Pastor Mark.
I'm so sorry. I said Terry. Did I say Terry and Gary a while ago? Margaret said I did. Of course, the Schweitzer's daughter is not Terry and Gary. Stand up. Praise God. Come on, guys. Chris and Lynn are the Schweitzer's daughter. You know, there's a lot of family connections here. And
married to their son.
There you go. Jessica is married to their son. And, of course, everybody knows Jessica is the part of the Schweitzer family. You have to come. I can't remember my daughter's names when I'm up here sometimes.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit... Anyway, I wanted to get that straight. Sorry.
No, you did. Pastor Mark, I get it. Matter of fact, I call Elena, Livy, and Olivia, Elena a lot. Some, huh? Don't we? She goes, heck yeah. And by the way, my wife could not make it because of, you know, dealing with a death that she had in the family and stuff. So not able to be here through all that. And then Elena's with me. Elena, stand up and wave at everybody. Everybody see how short you are. And you go, yeah, woo-hoo. That's my daughter, Elena. She's here to help. And so we have the book table back there. I hope that you'll look at it. There's a lot of very good different types of information. Well, I was telling you about pastoring and how we saw 1,000 people get saved. And what really excites me is see people get born again but then become part of a local church. I mean, that now you got me really, really, really going. And, you know, and I just want to say this, our younger generation's not quite understanding the importance of church. I've been around them, and I was playing tennis one young man, and he said he was a Christian. I go, where do you go to church? He goes, well, I really don't go anywhere, but, you know, I'm okay. Well, you just don't tell me that because you're not okay. And so in a nice way, I didn't do it in a rude way, but I just said, you know, I need to talk to you a second because you need to understand the importance of church. And Jesus established it. Jesus died for it. Jesus gave gifts unto men. Yes. And if church wasn't important, he gave a fourfold ministry: apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teachers. So why did Jesus anoint pastors? And he's looking at me, and I go, that's because Jesus designed a local church, and it's important for you. And when you don't go to a local church, you're not taking advantage of what God wants you to have. So you need to get involved in a local church. And I had a young man that helped do my roof to my home and found out he was a Christian. We had some great conversations. He was discouraged by a hypocrite. And as a result, he goes, I just really don't go to church. And I go like, well, you know, we need to kind of realign that a little bit. And I gave him that book I have called The Finisher's Destiny. I'll talk about it in a moment, 31 Day Devotion. And I talk about a church life. He read that and went, oh, boy, okay, I got to find a church to go to. See, people get their eyes on the hypocrite more than on Jesus Christ. Now, hypocrites are going to be around our whole lives. Are y'all with me? Sure. I mean, if you read, you know, the Gospels, Jesus said, you snakes, you vipers, you hypocrites. I'm like, wow, Jesus, man, you didn't mess around. And so, but we run our race not looking at a hypocrite. We run our race looking to Jesus, amen, the author and the finisher of our faith. The devil uses hypocrites. Are y'all with me? And we're just not going to keep our focus on that. So I just say those 10 years, you know, was a real good experience. Then began to travel now for 28 years. So that's what, 38 years in the ministry. I know you're shocked because I look so young and I don't know what to say about that. And, you know, the more we're in this, and I know y'all will agree, it's the grace of God. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I definitely would not be here. So I'm grateful for God's grace and God's call, and I'm sure you are too. And, you know, I want to tell you this story and then give a few things away. Marilyn Hickey said, I want to be so full of God that when a mosquito bites me, it flies away singing the song, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood. I go, I want that too, man. I want to be that full of God. And let me have that, honey. And I want to just, if you'll bear with me, I want to give a few things away to you. I told you about this, a 31-day devotion called The Finisher's Destiny. I wrote this as a thing because I saw those people saved, but where's the other 700 people in my church? And so this was geared towards the beginning and walk, in the middle of your walk, and how to finish your walk, being a finisher. Getting started is one thing, but being a finisher is a whole nother dynamic. So this, I've had people say it's simple but meaty. So no matter where you're at in the Lord, this book will really work. It'll work for new people and for those that are mature. So who'd like to have the book? I'd like, yes, ma'am, absolutely. Can I have an usher that will help me? She has a wonderful smile right there, and that's for you. There you go. You're welcome. Then I have a book, and this is going to relate to our message a little bit here. It's called Heaven and Earth. This little mini book, it deals with when people pass, and which is very difficult, we know that, but there's also scriptures that help people get through it in a very good way. We were taught that with Dr. Kenneth Hagin. And so this deals with different aspects of death and what the Bible says about it to take away so much the sting of it. The very last chapter deals with salvation in pretty good detail because people are very open to the gospel when someone passes. And so on the back, it's got given to you by. So you can put your name in the family and, you know, put notes there that, you know, care and love for them. I'll share this part. When my mom passed away, you know, I was talking to God, you know, and he prepared me for it. But still, you know, you lost someone. And I'm just telling God, I missed it. I wasn't there when she passed because I got held up in Cincinnati at a flight. And I was feeling kind of bad about that. And I'm like, I wish I was there. You just go through this emotional thing. And the Lord spoke to me and I just froze. And the Lord said, well, she had a good day. And I knew what Scripture said, to die is gain, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And I thought, well, yeah, she was in a nursing home, not doing real well at all. And she went, come on, it's a good day when you wake up in heaven. Are y'all with me? So that little story is in here too. So who could use a little book dealing with, anyone know someone that's passed away or death that could help them? No one right now? You do, Tony? Okay. We don't want to. A healing meeting. Yeah, there we go. And then Reaching the Finish Line. This is a 3-CD series. The first one called It's Not Just How You Start, It's How You Finish. And, you know, we're going to kind of lay in that a little bit. So who'd like to listen to CDs? Okay, in the back. They're going to keep you busy, brother. There you go. He's in the very back there. Getting a good start. It's one thing to finish, but what helps is to get off to a great start. And this helps us do that to get a good start. So who could use this on getting a good start? Anyone here just born again recently or walking with God recently? Okay, who'd like to have it? Okay, I'm glad. Did you bring your tennis shoes, brother, right there in the very back? And then this one's fantastic. The Purpose for the Anointing Within. Wow. I was doing a meeting in California. I won't get in detail about it. It took too much time. But I had God just give me a revelation. I teach offenses. I think most of you know that. All over. Still teach offenses. Will continue to teach it until my 120-year Jesus comes. That's God's mandate. And so I was there, and five words leaped off the page, and I gained a revelation for the reason for the anointing. There's different functions, different operations, but to me, what I saw in the Scripture, there's always one purpose for that anointing. And so it's a superb teaching. It's worth it just for that. Now, I'm going to keep this one because I'm going to listen to it on the way back. It's a joke. Who'd like to have this on the anointing? Someone raise it. Yeah, absolutely. You'll love that. You'll really. Thank you. You're so kind. So it's called Reaching the Finish Line. And then I'm not going to give this away just because it takes too much time. But also, it's called the walk of faith, just a general part of faith. Faith to finish. If we're going to finish, it's going to require faith. No one likes this teaching. It's called faith and patience.
Yeah, no, we need that.
No one enjoys that one. Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. And then finally, strengthen in faith. You know, I was in a church that the Lord said to me, a divine vision requires divine strength to accomplish it. And one example was Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was praying, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. And when he got through, Luke says, an angel came and strengthened him. And if Jesus needed it, maybe we might.
Yeah, yeah.
Are y'all with me?
Sure.
So this is called the Walk of Faith. You can check those titles out, and that'll work for you. Okay, are y'all ready to learn something this morning?
Yeah.
All right. The best way I know to open this up is I was doing some meetings in North Carolina, Salem, Winston, North Carolina. And when we got through, I went with the pastor to go eat lunch, and he invited this family. And he was a medical doctor. And I just loved his family. He had just a superb spirit, and his family did. And he said, you know, being a medical doctor, you know, I see death experiences. I see people die and come back up to life again. They're called NDEs, near-death experiences, NDEs. And you can put that title up for me, please. And that's what we're going to talk about. And so as we're talking, he said, you know, I've studied it for 10 years, this subject, 10-year study on near-death experiences. And I'm like, you got my interest. And he said, I found, this is the way he put it, four fabrics woven within near-death experiences. What are they? And so he said, there's four of them. There's four things that I found to be common in near-death experiences. Now, think about this. Now, the Bible relates all this. All we got to do is read the Bible, we would see it. But it's just something when people have this experience of heaven, they come back and they say what heaven said. Wouldn't you agree? Yeah. To me, that puts some weight on what's going on. It puts some weight on we need to pay attention to what's being said because this is important to heaven. So it's important to God. Heaven realizes these things. And so I'm like, wow, tell me the four things. I want to jot them down. And I put it to memory. And be honest with you, I've had this for quite a few years. Haven't really taught it. And then just 6 months ago, I taught at one church. And it went over because God was leading. And it went over well. Next church went over well. So you're about the third or fourth church that I'm getting to teach this at. So we're breaking it all in. Okay,
amen, yeah.
So let's break it in.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So with these near-death experiences, there was four different areas. And so the first one, we want to see if you'll pull that up. When people came back, they said, what heaven said was, it is important that we love God. Woo. Big revelation, right? It's important that we love God. Now, go to Matthew 22, and a lot of you are familiar with this, I think. Matthew 22, verse 36. Matthew 22, verse 36. And the Bible emphasizes this, but I want to read this to you. Matthew 22, 36. Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? So they're asking Jesus, of all the commandments, what's the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. This is the first and great commandment. And the second's like it to it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hangs all the law. Very important. I know if I were there and I heard someone ask Jesus, out of all the commandments, what's the greatest? And I know I would have elephant ears. I'm really going to listen because Jesus is going to give the most important element of the commandments. And we know that is. That is to love God. It's loving God. Now, I was talking to a friend of mine, a pastor, Phil Trent. You might know him. And he's in Kentucky. And I said, Phil, I just really want people to grow and develop in God. And I want them to have a good foundation. And I found foundational truths in the Bible. But what you know as a pastor, what do you see to be a basic foundation? And he said something. Of everything we have, it should all be based on a love relationship with God.
Yes.
And I'm listening. Because sometimes we get, you know, caught up with do this, do this, do that, do this, read that, apply these principles. But if we do those without a foundation of loving Christ, it could be empty. Am I making sense to you? And so the Bible says, you know, we're told to love God, or let's put it this way, let's have a loving relationship with God. It's not something I do out of duty. It's something I do because I love Him. I love God. I have a relationship with God. And I love Him because He first, that's the Bible, right? God loves me because I love Him, because He first loved me. So it's based on a love relationship. Now, I want to relate a story based on this love relationship. When I was attending Bible school, Bible Training Center, we worked at Albert Equipment Company. And, you know, you had us, we had about three or four guys there going to Bible school, and that was great. We were going, and we had this one guy there I'm going to call the mystery Christian. You're thinking, all right, that's good. It's good to think. Well, why? Because he said he was a Christian, but his actions kept you in mystery about it. The mystery Christian. Oh, you met him. The mystery Christian. So as a result, what happened was, you know, he would give us a hard time. You know, three or four of us going to Bible school. And, you know, maybe giving a hard time, he would say things and do things and pry and hit because he's trying to hit your buttons. You know what I mean by hitting buttons?
Yeah.
Which I know none of you have because you're so holy. Praise God. So he would hit buttons. And, you know, and you kind of get upset, but you kind of, you know, get a hold of it by the Spirit of God and that kind of thing. And so we'd work one Saturday out of the month, and I'm working there, and we're going to work in shipping, and then on the other side was the mystery Christian. And I saw the mystery Christian, and I went, oh, no, no. I go, no, wait a second, I'm not going there. It's going to be a good day. It's going to go good. We're going to flow and operate in God, you know. So first 20 minutes is going great. First 25 minutes is going fantastic. And then all of a sudden he starts saying this and saying that, said this, said that, and he hit a button. Yeah, absolutely he did, but it wasn't a button. He hit the red button. He did. And when he hit the red button, I told the dude off. Just told him off because he needed it. Told him off with an attitude, walked over into an office and said, bless God, because I thought I was right. He deserved it. So I'm sitting down there going over this, and the Lord spoke to me very clearly and said inside, you, meaning me, got out of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, telling somebody off. Wow. Love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, temperance, losing it. Wow. Are y'all with me? Well, okay, yeah, I kind of see that. And once the Lord made that point, then he said, now go and apologize. So I jumped up out of my seat. I said, God, it's not my fault. I didn't do it. It's his fault. It's not my fault. He did it, God said. You got out of the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah. Go apologize. Now, I don't know about you, but you ever had your flesh rise up and go, I don't want to? And my flesh didn't want to. And you know those neon signs go open, open. Well, it's like pride, 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 you know, all over everywhere. And that's going on. Then, you know, and then you got to go and say you're sorry. You know, you know how that goes. It's kind of like, okay, I'm sorry. Oh, you don't get that. You know how we just kind of, you know, okay, I'm going to say sorry, but we're going to really slide through that real quick. And so in the light of that then, now here's what's going on. So the Lord said, I need to apologize. He's saying, I got out of the fruit of the Spirit, and I did. I see that. But I'm blaming him for all of it. But God's saying, I'm still responsible for me. And now God's saying, go and apologize. Well, I don't really want to. So now here's the lesson. So my will is doing this. My will is circling. Am I going to obey my spirit, or am I going to obey my soul, my mind, my will, and my emotion that doesn't want to do it? So what am I going to do? Because I could say, I'm not doing that. I am not going to apologize, and I hook up to my soul, my mind, my will, my emotion, and that's not a good place to be. Or I can make a right choice by my will and say, I'll just simply obey God. I don't want to. I don't feel like it, but I'm going to obey God. My will locks into my spirit, but it could have locked into my soul. Your will. So I see, here's the whole thing. I said, Lord, I want to obey you because I love you.
Yes.
So my love motivated me to make the right decision that was a difficult decision.
Good.
See, if you're going to walk in the love of God, it's the love of God's going to rub on your flesh and you can smell it burn. Burn, baby, burn. The love of God burns flesh. I think that's sometimes why we don't really walk in it sometimes. Now, of course, we can get out of anything, but we can get back, right? We're not going to be perfect. That's not what all this is. Just we're not going to make it with perfection. We become more and more like Christ, and I know you all know that. So my whole point is on that story is I made a right choice only because I love God. I go, Lord, I love you. Now, why do I love him? Because he first loved me. I mean, if you knew my past, if I knew your past, we'd all be looking at each other going, you're a pathetic thing.
Yeah.
But Jesus changed a pathetic thing into something. I don't know. I made up a word there. Okay. So here we go. I love you, God, and because we love God, that helps us to make right decisions.
Yes, yes.
So number one is have a loving relationship with God. And if we don't have that, you can forget the other ones. Loving relationship. I have time with him. I pray. I read his word. I'm walking with him. I'm challenged, but I want to obey God when my will's not sure what to do. I'm going to lock my will into my spirit and follow God. All right, so when people come back, what's one thing they say? That we need to love God, and of course, there's many, many, many scriptures that deal with loving God. Now, number two, you can put that up for us, please. Number two, when this medical doctor did a 10-year study, when people came back, he found out they said, love others with the love God gave us.
Amen.
Love others with the love God gave us. Because it's pretty hard to love others if we don't have God's love in us. Love others with the love that God gave us. Let's go to 1 John 4:19. I'm going to spend more time on the last one. I'm just going to, you know, briefly go over these just to get an understanding. Actually, you could preach a whole sermon on each one. Y'all know that. I know Pastor Mark knows that. So 1 John 4, let's go to verse 19. 1 John 4:19, I'll help you out. 1 John's before 2 John. You can find it easier that way. 1 John 4:19, okay. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God. Man, I love God. You see that guy over there? I hate his guts. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Isn't that interesting? So I can love others with the love that God gave me. I can yield to that, operate in that, and move in that. Now, let's go to Colossians 3:14. I want to make a point on that one. Colossians 3:14. I want to read this to you. I think it's very important. It goes along with our first one that we talked about. Colossians 3:14. Oh, let's start at verse 12, okay? Colossians 3:12. The Bible says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, watch this, put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so must you do. Verse 14. Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Put on love. Put on tender kindness. Put on these things. Why? Because if I put them on, I'm able to make a choice to love others as God loves me. Because sometimes some people are hard to love. Right? So there's times where I have to put it on. I don't feel like it. I don't really want to operate that way, but as I read Scripture, as I listen to the Lord, I'm going to put on the Scripture. I'm going to put on what God asked me to do. I'm going to put on this love relationship, meaning what? That this morning when I got ready, I went to the closet and I picked out certain clothes on purpose to wear, and I had to put them on. If no one put on their clothes, we'd all be streaking. Hello, somebody. We don't believe in that. And so in the same way, when I'm challenged with someone, if things become difficult, I can put on the love of God. The love of God is not touchy, not fretful, not resentful. It takes no account of evil done to it. One version says it pays no attention to a long-suffered wrong. Oh. Anybody ever been there before? I have. I go, and you want me to forget that? I'm going through a long enduring thing that's a struggle because someone else's decision, and you're wanting me to do that? Yeah. So I got to go put on love. I know what I'd like to do, get my 357 hollow point bullets, and here we go. But I know none of you think that way because y'all are so holy. It's a holy church. So I got to put on. See, my mind's going a different direction. My mind's trying to move to hate. My attitude's trying to move to a wrong attitude. And that's where I've got to put on love. I got to put it on. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
I will walk in love. I will walk in love in this situation. I will respond to God in this situation. That's putting on the love of God. And I found something out. The Bible says in 1 John that when that God is love, and that when I'm in God, then I'm in His love. When I'm in His love, I'm in God. They're inseparable because God is love, right? God is love. And so as a result of that, because of the relationship with Him, a love relationship, God is love, that when I release love into a situation, I just release God into it.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. And with the Scripture, and you probably know, I don't have time to get to it. It'd take too long. This is not even our main point. Dear Lord. Okay, you get it? So two things. Number one, we love God. Very important that we love God. Love relationship. A love relationship with Him. Walking with Him, at union with Him. Number two is love others with the love He gave us. And so we kind of hopefully learn some things, some aspects about that and in operating with it. So enough said there. So put on love, and then we're going to be sure we operate that way according to the Holy Spirit, according to Scripture. Now, number three, there were four things. Number three, when they came to heaven and came back, what was the third thing that heaven emphasized? And you would know this, forgive others. Now, I know it seems simple, but it's not. Because the enemy will use anything and everything he can to get us offended, hurt, wounded, bitterness, unforgiveness, all those things like that. He'll do anything, everything, because he wants to get us in his trap. And I've taught that, and I'm sure you know about that. And so we need to make this spiritual, mental choice to forgive. There's a lot involved here, and I'm really not going to spend much time with it. But y'all, I've got a little mini book called Overcoming Offenses, God Provision for Victory, No Longer a Prisoner of Hurt. That's all needs to be said about that subject right here. The Lord had me do it, did it, been through it. I've been offended, and I've been free. Guess which one's better? Absolutely free. And I know what it's like to get offended. Been there, done that. And then also I know what it's like for the Lord to set you free and give you revelation on it, because Jesus, in order to heal the brokenhearted. And all these are choices to forgive. You know, when I was attending, I went to Tulsa, and I can't remember at the timing of this, but it was a metallic group, you know, and they had on this thing, on his shirt called Unforgiven. And I went, there you go, devil. You gave your mark right there. Because now you're using a group to now sing about things and being unforgiven. Because that's what the devil wants to do. He wants us to be unforgiven and be unforgiven towards other people. But, you know, the mark of walking with God is a forgiving spirit about us. Are y'all with me? Now, I understand easier said than done sometimes. I get all that. I preach it, teach it all over. You know, that's what God called me to do. This is enough right here. So if there's anyone here that's really offended, I want to give you this book. Of course, I'm kidding. Oh, you raised your hand? Wow, look at you. Wow, what an honest man right there. Praise God. Good for you, brother. All right. So that was number three. Now, here's the one that I want to spend a little bit of time on. that to me, out of all the four, this last one was the most interesting part of what that doctor said. Remember, studied it for 10 years. People that died came back. They talked about loving God, love others, the love God gave us. Number three, to forgive. And then number four was very, like I said, very interesting to me. We're going to spend a little bit of time there. Number four, can you bring that up for us there? Well, you did. Every life, now this is heaven, these people from heaven coming back, saying what God's revealing, that every life has a purpose. And that is very important to God that we fulfill it. Isn't that interesting? Every life has a purpose. Now, that means every one of you that are here, you have a purpose. And it's important to God that we operate in that purpose and that we fulfill that purpose. So that, I know it puts weight on it, and it does, and it should, because God has a plan for you, every individual one. Now, it doesn't mean everyone's going to be behind a pulpit like I am or Pastor Mark. It doesn't mean that at all. Matter of fact, I want to show you one example of someone that served God. Go over to Acts. No, it wasn't Acts. It was Luke. Luke chapter 2. Let's go there for a moment. I want to show you something, please. Y'all doing okay?
Yes.
Good for you. Luke chapter 2. And let me find it. I'm in Luke 20. That's not going to work. It's probably a familiar story that you know. They're going to take Jesus and offer him to the Lord. And then in Luke 2, as that was happening, go to verse 36. Luke 2, 36. Luke 2, 36. Luke chapter 2, verse 36. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with the husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of she's 84 years old. 84. Who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. That was her purpose. Serve God in prayers night and day. And she's 84. Are y'all with me? She found her purpose. You have the widows were being neglected. And then you had the apostles saying, pick out from you seven men that are full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And to serve, you know, these widows that are neglected. And someone said, if you're serving widows, you need to have full of wisdom. So whatever. I know it's a bad joke and I apologize for that. And so what happened was they're serving people. So in other words, what was their purpose? They found something to do. A door was open. They go, I found something to do. Like in a local church, when singing, playing the drums, you're doing something. It's a purpose. You're doing some kind of purpose. Clean, whatever you do, there's a door opens in a local church, like, I'll do that. That's starting to fulfill your purpose. Well, then you had Philip that was doing that, but then we know Philip, then when they were departed from Jerusalem, became an evangelist, Philip the evangelist. So he started that. But then he began to move into his full purpose. And that's the whole thing. Where do we find our purpose? In the local church. That's where you find your purpose. As you're taught, as you learn, as you get involved, you find your place, your call. That's the way it worked for me. I got right with God, and I'll probably share some of that. And then a result, you know, in the church, I just remember, you know, we need people to pass out flyers. We got a revival coming. And I'm like, wow, praise God, I can pass out flyers for Jesus? Absolutely. As far as I know, I was the only one that came back and said, you got more of those things? Because my whole attitude was, I'm serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they come to that, they got a chance of getting saved, which means I got a part of someone getting saved. So let's get some flyers out there, praise God. I'm not just passing out flyers. I'm serving the Lord Jesus passing out flyers. And then from flyers, it went to something else and something else. Praise God. It's part of a purpose. So everyone has a purpose. You have a purpose. What is it? You'll have to find out. Pray about it. What's God saying? What open doors happen? Dealing with God's will and God's purpose for our life. Now, I want to share a few things that kind of help us, propel us towards that way, and some things that we can do to help along that. And I'm just trying to get my thoughts together here. Let me give you an example. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. You know, you can find your purpose in the Bible. That's one thing. And the Bible says in that, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, not because of, but in everything, give thanks. Now, not because of these things. I praise God because of these. No, I praise God in it. Are y'all with me? Not because of it. I praise God in it, and in it I look to the God of all grace, and I'm thanking Him, and I'm praising Him. I'm keeping my relationship. I'm keeping my joy. The Bible says, count it all joy when you go through various trials. Woo, my joy must be great. The word count. The Spirit of God had me look up the word count. Now, imagine Him look up the word count. Of all words in James, you think it would be that one? Count it when you go through various trials, count it all joy. And the count, I'll get pretty close, has a twofold meaning. Number one is it's a protecting strength. It's like you build a fortress around you. The joy is a fortress that keeps you from, I'm going to add this, depression. It's a protecting thing. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And the next part of that is that when you count it all joy, it means to become ambassador, chief, governor, ahead of. So when I count it all joy, when I'm going through various trials, which is challenging, but as I do, it puts me above the circumstance. It keeps me in the anointing. It keeps me where I'm chief above the circumstance instead of the circumstance being chief above me. Are y'all with me? And so that's where, you know, I'm taking a step of faith by applying that. So in everything, I give thanks. That's the will of God. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Praise God. I was waiting on one element of you know, a little. Keep it going. Praise God. Keep that encouragement going. And so just so the Bible reveals the will of God. As you search, God reveals the will of God. And I think, we'll get scripture, but I think one of the greatest things that propels anyone into their true destiny is they have to make a step, like Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that lives, but it's Christ Jesus living in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So the whole key that propels you to your real true destiny and your real true purpose is dying. Isn't that a great word? Jesus said if you lose your life, you gain it. But if you try to gain your life, you lose your life. It's a paradox. It doesn't really make sense, but it's true. That's what happened to me. I've shared before. You know, I raised in church most of my life, college, got so backslid, I just would love to relive those days, but that is too late. The blood of Jesus covers it. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Bad, just bad 4 years. And then finally I go, Lord, my life is so messed up that really, to be honest with you, I really wanted to take my life, but I didn't know how to do it. Matter of fact, I was in one church, and He wanted me to teach on salvation. I sensed about three people that were contemplating suicide. Three people contemplating that. You know, and I thought, wow, man, you know, I know what I could teach, but right now this is going on with this suicide. We need to help with that and those things like that. And so sometimes I say things by inspiration without thinking. I said, if you've been contemplating suicide, I'm going to tell you how. And I went, what? It came out of my mouth. And I look, and I go, well, you can't take it back. So I'm looking at the pastor, and his mouth falls to the floor. I'm looking at my friend, and they're shocked. And I'm just like going, okay, what just happened there, man? As a result of that, where was I before I really even wrote to myself? Y'all remember?
Dying
to self.
Yeah.
And then how that through dying to self, it propels you to your destiny. And then those people were there to commit, you know, I said, if you're going to commit suicide, I'm going to tell you how. And then the pastor shocked. I was shocked. And I thought, Lord, what do I do now? It's too late. I already said it. And the Lord said, have them die on the cross. Have them commit on the cross to die in Christ is gain. They'll become alive.
Yes.
So I said, okay, guys, let me tell you, this is how you commit suicide. You come to the cross of Calvary and you die there with Christ and you'll be resurrected in Christ. And I wiped sweat as great drops of blood off my brow. I looked at the pastor, and he got his mouth back, and he's like, normal. My friend's like, oh, thank you, Jesus. I had to go, I know, man. It was hectic. It just came out. Thank God for inspiration sometimes. So I'm thinking about, I want to take my life, but I'm like, you know, Lord, I got to find you again. So Sweetwater, I went back. I go, Lord, I got to find you. So Lord, deal with me. Deal with me. God, deal with me. I'm going to deal with myself. God, I need to get right with you. Deal with me. I need to deal with myself. And I kept that going on for quite some time. And I'm like, Lord, I want to commit my life. But now this is just me, and I really believe it's the Holy Ghost, because I said, God, I don't want to recommit 52 weeks out of the year. Either I commit and go all the way, or I don't go at all. And I really believe it's about the Holy Ghost, because the Bible says, count the cost, that you have enough to finish it.
Yeah.
And the only way to be able to finish is to die completely. Did you know if someone is starting to die, you don't bury them? You only bury them when they fully have passed away, right? Which means now they can experience, which means they can be fully resurrected in Christ. So we don't experience full resurrection until we experience full death.
That's good.
And that's death on the cross. And so here we go. We're in a week-long revival. And man, God's been dealing with me, been dealing with myself, week-long revival. And it's been quite a few months. And I don't know how, but that last meeting, I knew this is my moment. This is it right now. This is my time to commit to God. So I went to the preacher that I knew many years. I said, college was awful for me. I was water baptized in this church. You know me. But it was horrible the way that I lived. And I want you to know that I want you to pray with me that right now I'm committing my life completely to serve God, spirit, soul, and body. That my life is not my own.
Amen.
It's His now. And so we prayed. And I mean, the next day was transformation. Did you know Jesus is mentioned only 27 times in the New Testament? 27 times. Now, I'm gonna get my facts right here. But He is mentioned, Lord, 670 times.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? 670 times is Lord, 20 is Savior. Savior's important, but listen, I found something out. If you make Jesus Lord, it's transformation time.
Yes, yes.
When He's Lord, it's transformation. You have change. And that's what I was experiencing, transformation. I mean, I'd wake up and I'm like, wow, God, You're present. Wow. Well, I didn't know He could be that real. He was helping me in my job. I was having these experiences in God. And I'm just thinking, man, this is fantastic. If I'd known it was like this, I'd have done it a whole lot sooner.
Yes.
God, this is great. You're awesome. This is good. You're fantastic. Because I'm experiencing God.
Amen.
And then what God did, now here's the whole point of all this. We're talking about finding our purpose, fulfilling our purpose on this planet. And thank you. Every life has a purpose. You have a purpose. You can't
yes.
ignore
Yes,
that.
Yes, yes, yes.
Heaven says you have a purpose.
Amen. Yes.
Let me tell you what's rewarding, and I know you'll identify. What's rewarding is, oh, you know what? I'm doing the will of God.
Amen.
Is that not rewarding?
Yes, yes, it is.
It's rewarding to me. I'm doing the will of God, meaning that when I get before the Lord Jesus Christ, that there's going to be reward. And hopefully He's going to have a smile on His face. Hopefully. Didn't do everything perfect, but I'm doing the will of God.
Yeah.
And to walk into heaven going, knowing, I found His purpose, I did His purpose, and by His grace I fulfilled His purpose, and praise God, enter into the joy of the Lord.
Yeah.
Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
It excites me.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to lay hands on myself in a moment, praise
yeah.
God. I get so excited about that. So here, now after I dedicated my life to God that way in 1979, took time to do it, did it, sold out completely. God put in me, now I emphasize, God put in me this desire to do His will. So the next day I'm like, oh man, God, I need to know Your will. Just put it there. God, I need Your will. I got to know Your will. Lord, what's Your will for my life? It drove me to anxiety. Now, I hadn't gone to Bible school yet, y'all with me, but I was so anxious about it, I had to know the will of God. What's Your will? What's Your will? What's Your will? God, I got to know Your will. I don't want to be a businessman. I got a business degree. I just want to preach Your gospel. God, what's Your will for my life? What do You want me to do? What's Your will? Every day, every day, every day, 10 days, 20 days, 30 days, what's Your will? What's Your will? But I never prayed that way until I totally died.
Yeah.
The Lord reveals Himself to the Apostle Paul. And He goes, who art thou, Lord? Who art thou, Lord?
Yeah.
I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom you're persecuting. And what was his next reply? What would you have me to do? Yeah. When he's Lord, your next thing is, what would you have me to do? Now, please understand, that could be anything. God may call you to raise a child and do it in a certain way. God may call you to work with kids. God may call you, hey, you just go and you help so-and-so and you be a witness to so-and-so. I don't know. Don't think it's just what I'm doing. Please don't just think that. A purpose is, it could be anything in God. And nothing is too simple when God asks you to do it. Nothing's too simple. It's just a matter of being faithful. Are y'all hearing me? It doesn't say, well done, thou good, successful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You know, Peter had a purpose. Whoo, kind of blew it there a little bit, though, didn't he?
Yeah, right.
Deny the Lord three times? That's not a fun moment.
No.
He was set up by the devil. Of course, Jesus then reaffirms his love to him. And let me say something. God's eternal love is greater than our failures.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes.
Well, God won't use me because of this, 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 and this. Don't believe that lie. All you have to do is humble yourself before God. All that changes, and find your purpose now. He got out of it, but he found it and fulfilled it. David. You ever read about King David? You ever read about King David? Wow, he really messed up. Committed adultery, and then you had this thing here and had a Uriah murdered, killed. That's not a very good attribute for a godly king.
No.
And yet the Bible says in Acts that David was a man after my own heart to do all my will. But boy, he sure didn't miss it along the way.
Yeah.
But he got his heart back after Nathan confronted him because he was deceiving himself. He went for, we don't know how long, what, 9 months, year and a half, a period of time, and Nathan confronted him about the sin that he did. And, of course, David, he immediately repented. But he still did the will of God. So we don't have to be perfect. But we do need to keep walking with God. When we mess up, we've got to come back to God, get all that lined out, and let's get back in our purpose.
Amen.
Are we okay?
Amen. Yes, yes, yes.
Good. You're doing great.
Yes.
I just hope I'm relating it in a good way. That's all.
Yeah, go ahead.
So then what's your will? What's your will? Now I want to relate this story to you. What's your will, Lord? What's your will? 30 days after praying that way, I'm driving. I was in sales in Sweetwater around that area, and I'm driving back down the interstate. The Lord spoke to me, and he said, would you pick up a hitchhiker? Now, I'm just learning his voice. So I'm like, well, God, if that's you, I want to be obedient, you know, because I want to do what you asked me to do, but I'm not sure this is you. And so, you know, I'm starting to look for this hitchhiker. Well, then I get thoughts, what if the dude is big, bad, ugly, and he just broke out of prison, he's got a gun or a knife, and I'm tripping, man. I'm sweating it out. Really was. And I'm looking, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I need to obey God. If this is God, I don't know, and I'm looking for this hitchhiker. Never saw the hitchhiker, got home and said, it was just me. So went to sleep, woke up the next morning. Got ready like normal, got ready for my job like normal, go down my, you know, what I'm supposed to do as a salesperson, and I'm on this back road outside of Sweetwater, Tennessee, not even a major road, and a young man's on a duffel bag with his thumb out. And I went, oh, that was God. Picked him up. And he believed Jesus was a prophet, but didn't know he was Savior. Ended up witnessing to him, tell him how to get saved and all that. And then you want to pray? And he said, I don't really want to pray that. Well, let me tell you how to pray it and how to get saved when you're walking down the road. God gave me wisdom on that one. So I'm getting ready to go on the next call. So I'm feeling out this report you have to do in sales. And the Lord spoke, and this time when he spoke to me, it was very clear. The Lord said, what did I ask you to do? My reply, to pick up a hitchhiker. God said, what did you do? I started looking for him. You're going to love this. And God said, yeah, and you were sweating it out. That's what he said. You were sweating it out. I go, yeah. Here's what he said. When you went your way, he said, I worked it out in my timing, by my power, and for my glory. And so will it be with my will in your life.
Amen. Amen.
Now, that's God's word to me. But it's something to learn from. So in other words, you don't have to get anxious about it. You don't have to get worked up about it. You just got to have faith that I'll work it out. You got to trust me that I'll work it out. Oh, the anointing's on that.
Yes.
The anointing's on that. The anointing's on that. We got to trust God, have faith in God. He's going to work it out.
Yes, yes, yes.
Don't you think God wants to fulfill His will as bad as we want to?
Sure.
Yes. There we go. Amen. Just got to have faith and rest in it. Faith and rest in it. And I remember 6 months after then, I still don't know His will. So I thought, I'm going to fast and pray. I'm going to fast and pray. I don't know His will. I'm going to fast and pray. So I fasted 3 days, no food, no water for 3 days, man. And on the third day, I'm like, God, this is my third day fasting. You haven't said nothing. Lord, come on, what is it? What's Your will for my life? You know what God said? He said, I'll work it out. Well, that's what You said 6 months ago. I could eat Wendy cheeseburgers every day.
That's right. That's right. Sincerely.
And, you know, there's challenges you go through personally and in ministry. And I drove right by that same place that God spoke to me. When I saw it, I went, that's right, God. You'll work it out. I don't need to be anxious about it. God knows what He's doing, man. God knows what He's doing, and He knows how to help us. So what's going to propel you to your destiny? Is you need to make this spiritual mental choice to die and then walk in union with the Lord. And if you get out, get back in there as quick as you can. Amen. And get back in your purpose and fulfill your purpose. Peter did. Paul did. David did.
Amen.
And we can too.
Amen. Yes, yes.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Okay, a few more scriptures, and then we'll be through. Okay, and there's so much. Well, just go to this one, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. I got so many more, it's unreal, but you know how that is. Preachers got so much they can say. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and there's more scriptures like this. There are more that reveals what I'm going to read this, but at least we'll go through one, and I want you to capture it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constrains us because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And He did die for all. That those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. And there's a lot more scripture than that, but that's all I'm going to hit right there. Once we're born again, once we're dedicated to God, and I want to add, once we're even added to that spirit field, doesn't have to be part of that, but it's an important part in my opinion. It's important I don't live for myself, but I live for Him.
Yeah, amen, amen, amen. That's good.
Now that's when He's Lord. What do You want me to do, Lord? See, when I went to college, I never asked God in college what He wanted me to do. What do You want me to be? All I thought was, I'm in college, I need to have fun, and I'm going to make a lot of money. Get a degree I can. Never acknowledged God. And all that went south. Dear Jesus, it went south fast. But then it turned around fast, too, once I sold out to God. I never knew I was called to preach. I never knew it. I had no clue I was called to preach. I remember talking to God when I was a little kid, but I didn't know I was called. You know how some, know when they were born, they knew they were called. I don't know how that happens, but I had no clue. So what did it for me is when I sold out. And it'll do it for you too. It's just an example. Right? So what's good now? So what will help me find the will of God? Thank you for asking me that question. It's a good one. Let's answer it. Okay? So we know we're supposed to leave Him. All right, go over to Colossians chapter 1. That's the first one, Colossians 1. And, I pray this prayer a lot. Not every day, but a lot. And as experiences I could share with you when I first got turned on to God and how all this unfolded itself, but it'd take too long. We're not going to go there. Colossians 1, look at verse 9. Colossians 1, verse 9. We all know probably about the Ephesian prayers. Well, this is a Colossian prayer. And here we go, chapter 1, verse 9.
For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. So this is a prayer you pray over and over and over, because it's a type of a prayer of a consecration.
Yes.
To ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. I like that. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, I like that. Doing His will is one thing, but we got to have wisdom to do His will, because it requires wisdom to accomplish it. And we need spiritual understanding to come. So I'll just drive down the road going, God, fill me with the knowledge of Your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I pray this prayer a lot, and I know why. Because God put it in me way back in 1979 to do His will.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I still want to do His will. And by the grace of God, I want to fulfill His will. Verse 10, that you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. Look at that, not partially. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
But fully. Being fruitful in every good work. I like this part. Increasing in the knowledge of God. I like that. Now watch verse 11. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for or resulting in all patience and longsuffering with joy. Because if you're going to do the will of God, you're going to have to be divinely strengthened. It's just you're not going to make it. I remember going through some challenge. I prayed that every day. Father, strengthen me by Your Spirit, my inner man. Every day for days, if not months, because I needed that divine strength. Because you know what it does? It helps you to be patient.
Yes, 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 yes.
It's fuel to be patient. Okay, so that's one thing you do. We can pray this prayer right here in Colossians chapter 1. Lord, fill me with the knowledge of Your will in an all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, go over to Philippians, okay? Move over to Philippians chapter 2, and I'm just going to read it. I got a story to go with it, but I'm going to skip that. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And a lot of people stop right there. You can't stop right there. Because the thought continues on, to work out our salvation fear and trembling, for it is God who works where? In you. God works in you both to will. He works in you His will and to do for His good pleasure. That's what He did for me in 1979. He's put it in there. He gave me the desire, the want to do His will. He put it in there. And it didn't happen until He became Lord. It didn't happen until I fully dedicated my life to God. And it propelled me right into my purpose and my destiny, praise God. Amen.
Yes.
Lord, work in me Your will and Your good pleasure. And I pray that off and on quite a bit. Lord, just work. When I'm working, okay, what's His next step? What's His next step? What's the next portion God wants me to do? Lord, work in me Your will. Work in me Your good pleasure. You're doing that work. I have faith in You. I'm trusting You. You're going to work it out anyway. See, I can't jockey for position. If I know someone, it'll propel the ministry. That'll be stupid. I can't do that. I can't jockey for position. Either God's going to do it or it ain't going to happen.
Yes.
There's no jockeying to it. It's just, let's just do our best to follow God and obey God. Now, finally, Hebrews, I think this is our last one. And everyone said amen.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 13, 20 and 21. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. And now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete, wow, in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight.
Yes.
Through Jesus Christ, to Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. I like that. I like that. You know, if you give God an invitation, He's going to show up.
Yes, yes, yes.
Lord, and this is what I want to encourage all of you to do. A lot of you, are mature. I know you are. And then some of you, but I don't know everybody. We're probably different levels of growth, but I know quite a bit of you. You're mature in God. I know that. You know the Word of God and these things of God. I know that. But it's a thing of, okay, what's His purpose? And then it's renewing that purpose and staying in line with that purpose. And so, Lord, I invite You. And this works. Lord, it works. Lord, I invite You. Work in me Your will.
Yes.
Lord, I invite you, work in me what pleases you. And as he does the work on the inside, then I need to respond from the outside. You with me? Like when God said, quit my job. Okay, I've been praying about that for 2.5 years, but now all of a sudden I'm not going to have a company car. I'm not going to have an income. I'm not going to have a bunch of stuff. We get that. How in the world am I going to make it? See, the devil jumps in on it. Isn't that something? And by faith, I had to make a decision. You know what God told me? Here's a long story, but God just pretty much said, if you keep your job, it's because you love the money more than me. That's what he said. Goes up 1 Timothy chapter 6 for the love of money. And I go, well, dear Lord, I do love you more than money, so I guess I'll quit. But see, I did it because God said, be careful. Don't just quit and quit. You'll go hungry.
Yeah, that's right.
I did it because God said. Because God said. And then that took the next step. Now, was that an easy decision? It's one I wanted to do, but it wasn't an easy decision. You know, and then in Cleveland, you know, there's a Bible school here with Norval Hayes. And I thought, I can just go there. Got it made. I'll live in Sweetwater, drive that. This is great. Man, this is a big old fix-up. But God go, no, that's not it. So he wants to move up and change, go to Rhema. That was God working on the inside. Okay, I'll obey. Wasn't an easy decision, but a right one. They all were right decisions. All right, so let's do something, church. Let's do something. And so we know the four, right, that are very important to God and in Scripture. Love God, love others with the love that he gave us, forgive others. And then every life, your life has a purpose. And it is important to God that you fulfill it. So do me this. Let's all do this, okay, to wrap this up. Let's pray this. Can we put our arms open like it's surrender to our Heavenly Father this way? Say this with me, please. And let your heart hook up to the words, okay? Yes. Say this with me. Father, I invite you. To work in me. Work in me. Your will. Work in me. Your good pleasure. In Lord Jesus. I choose today. To die to self. That I come to your cross. And die with you. So that I will be resurrected with you. And you're working through me. Your will. Your purpose. To reach this world.
Thank you.
Thank you for working in me. By your grace. In Jesus' name. Now, you understand, you only have so long to say stuff. Because a lot can be said. But we're just out of time. You know, praying in the Holy Ghost. I know we can pray out the will of God. I know these things. But there's only so much time we have in that. Yeah, would you play something, please? I just sense the way you all responded to that prayer. I can sense the Spirit of God moving. Just the way you responded. Let's give the Holy Ghost just a little bit of time. What do you think? And let's have that communion with Him, that union with Him. And I want to reiterate again. Rest in God for Him to reveal to you what to do. Different ways he'll do that. Rest in God to do the things you need to accomplish for the will of God. I can trust you, God.
Yes.
I can trust you. Yes. I have faith that you're going to work out your will in my life. I'm not going to be anxious about it. I'm not going to be worked up about it. But I sure want to do your will. As much as you want me to. So Lord, do that work in me and through me. And by your grace, help me to fulfill it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father, I recall in Colossians that we're to keep our mind on things above, not on the things of this earth. We do have responsibilities, but we can live on earth from heaven, from our citizenship that's in heaven. Jesus, thank you for your grace. Just like you gave to Peter, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, thank you. Now, would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please? I will give an invitation. Maybe, just maybe, you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Just maybe. Maybe you never prayed a prayer to invite Him into your life as Savior and Lord. If you have never done that, I want to give you an opportunity in this service. And I want you to be bold. So you're here going like, you know, Reverend Husky, I've never prayed a prayer to receive Jesus into my heart and life, but I want Christ. I want that change. I want that purpose. If this is you on that, would you raise your hand for me where I can see it so I could pray with you? Anyone? Okay, and I kind of thought that. But here's the next one. Are you walking with God fully? Right now, are you walking with God fully? Are you walking with union with Him? Very important. You might have one foot in God and one foot in the world. One foot with God, but one foot with the wrong friends. One foot in God, but one foot in, I'm doing some stuff in this world that I know is not right. You're walking down the middle of the road, we call it. That is a very, unsatisfying and perplexed place to be. And I know because I was there in 1979. I was so backslid, it was unbelievable. It's just amazing how God took me back and what He did. I'm grateful, God. So this is an important call. This is an important call right here. And we need to be honest, and you should be honest with God. You know where you're at. God knows where you're at. You're not playing games with anyone. So let's make it straight. If we need to commit our life to God completely, let's do just that. Let's commit our walk to God, our union with God. So if you're here this morning and you're like, Reverend Husky, man, I'm not where I need to be. I'm just not there. I know that. But I want to be there. I want to make a recommitment to the Lord. I do want to operate in that purpose. I want to find my purpose and live in that purpose and fulfill that purpose. But right now, I'm not in position that I can do that because I'm not where I need to be in God. But I want to make a right decision this morning, and I want to pray a prayer to accomplish that right decision. If that is you, and I want you to be honest, come on, this is church. I want you to raise your hand, please, that I can pray with you and for you. God bless you, sir. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. God bless you, sir. Thank you. Anyone else? Because I know there is by the Spirit. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for being honest. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, young lady. God bless you. That's being honest. Now, is there another? It's like, gosh, I should raise my hand, but I'm not doing it. Your probably heart's probably beating fast. Your palms are probably sweating. So before we pray, I want to give you this opportunity. Before we pray, I want to give this opportunity. If you're hearing like, I should be raising my hand and I'm not. Okay, why not? What's holding you back from raising your hand? Because if you think about it rationally, I don't know anything that would be a right decision. Except for the fact you're just not ready to commit completely. And you can't stay there long. You need to deal with yourself. till you're able to come to that place. So, before I pray, anyone else now? You're like, I should. God bless you. Thank you. That's awesome. Bless you for that. I love young people. You're in a great place to be sold out to God. But also you got a lot of pressures on you too to make very wrong decisions. A lot of pressure. But if you walk with Christ, it'll help you overcome those pressures. So thank you for doing that. All right, so I'm going to pray now for those that raise their hand. Is there anyone else left that should raise their hand? Okay. Now, I'm going to do something, and I said I'm going to pray for you, and I am going to pray for you. I'm going to do exactly what I said, but I'm really impressed to go this way and do it anyway, but feel impressed to do so. If you raise your hand on any account or should have raised your hand, I want you right now boldly to stand up right where you're at, please, boldly. Come on. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you. 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 This is church. It's church. Now, would you come up this way? I want to pray with you. Come on up this way, please. I want to pray with you. Okay? And sir, this might be very different for you. I don't know if you're a visitor or something. It's okay. Come right on. Y'all, give them a hand. This is a big decision for these folks. It's a big decision. Yeah. Praise God. Good. Good. What's your name? Megan, okay, good for you. What's your name, young lady? Simone? Oh, very good. Very good. And then, sir, your name?
Jack.
Jack, good. And Jack. Oh, we got, okay, it must be day for Jacks. All right. Okay, would you turn around this way and face me, please? Yeah, all right. And right over here, we'll make it real easy. All right, now, congratulations on being honest. In 1979, I exactly where you were, but I didn't care what people thought. I only cared what God thought. I don't care what people think. I don't care what God thinks, and you just made that decision. God can use that. If you confess before men, Christ confess you before his angels. Ooh. You know what that means? Heaven's going to have a party. Because you're not just going to become saved, you probably already are, you're going to commit your life to God completely. This is a big thing. So here's what you have to do. You have to make this choice that I choose to die to me completely. I lose my life, then I'll gain his. And if you make that decision, what we're going to do, it will work. And if you don't make the decision, it's going to give a hiccup to it. But if you make it, it'll work. It'll happen. Can you make that decision? You can do that. It'll work. Then let's pray. Okay, you ready? Say it's me. Father,
I believe
with all my heart,
your Son Jesus
died for me,
shed his blood for me.
And Jesus, I know you're hearing my prayer
right now.
So I take self
off the throne of my heart,
and I invite you
to come in
and sit
on the throne of my heart.
Not only as Savior,
but as my Lord.
I confess you now
as my Lord.
Father, grant your grace to these people. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. I pray for an impartation to this man. Father, I pray for an impartation to her. Father, you work in them of your goodwill and your good pleasure. And for some reason, I'm really led. Father, in Jesus' name, fill her with your goodness, kindness, and your spirit. Fill her with such power, she has the capability of saying no to wrong things. and say yes to right things. Father, give her that strength. Ooh, wow. That's God right there. That's God right there. Just receive that like you're doing. That's a touch of God. And you need it. And God's giving it. Father, help our sight to be on you completely. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Good job. Good job, y'all. Fantastic. You can be seated. Oh, you're welcome. You're very welcome. Y'all give them a hand again. That's big. Okay. I've got one last thing to do. I had a word of knowledge on healing, and this is really different. Normally, I'll get, you know, back, necks, and backs. That's more common. Other things, too, is more common. But this is like right, it's dealing with the right side of someone's neck. Really different. Right through, and it could down through here, and I don't know what it is. I just know something's really wrong dealing with the right side of your neck, and we want to pray for you. I just know the Lord just, you know, related that.
Thank you, Jesus.
Is that you, ma'am? Is there anybody else that deals with the right? It's the right. It's the funniest thing. It's not really the spine or the base. It's the right side of your neck.
It's like a cyst. It's coming up, but I'm not sure if it's in my artery or
yeah.
not.
It is a cyst. Okay.
I guess it is. I don't know. It's
okay.
Not. I haven't gone to the doctor.
I got it. Well, we're going to believe it's going to go, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I know you believe that. Ma'am?
With the right. The neck.
It, okay. What's the issue there?
It's especially when I get in the car.
Yeah.
Instant pain in the side.
Oh, instant pain? Oh, we don't like that. Okay.
It's an issue. I don't know.
Okay. It's all right. We don't have to know. We just want it gone, right?
I want it gone.
Yeah, okay, good. Here we go. Would y'all stretch your hands out this way?
Thank you, Lord.
Father, in Jesus' name, we just simply obey you. We lay hands on our sister. And Father, we thank you for a cure. We invoke, or we lay hands and release the healing anointing.
Yes.
That brings in the healing and drives out what's wrong. And Father, I thank you for this healing. Spirit of pain, we command you to leave her body. And Father, I want to thank you that this brings you honor and praise and glory, and especially for our sister being pain-free.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name. Now, Father, she's not sure, and she didn't have to. There's some kind of a cyst there or knot or something. But you're the one that gave the word of knowledge, not me. So you know exactly where she's at and what's going on.
Yes.
Which means... That was it right there. That was it, right? That was it right there. Father, thank you for the healing anointing.
Thank you.
Thank you for the healing anointing. And Father, we take authority of whatever the cause is, whatever's going on, we take authority over that in Jesus' name.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for
me. Amen. Well, that was simple.
Yeah.
You did good. Yeah, you did real good. Praise God. That was awesome. Y'all know how to receive, and I'm not surprised about that. Well, you guys, thank you. Thank you for your time. Pastors, thank you. You guys, thank you. Sherry, good to see you. Tony and others. And thank you. Thank you for your call and not giving up.
Amen.
Thank you for your call and not giving up. Thank you for you and your husband's call and not giving up. Tony, you and your wife, thank you for your call and not giving up. You took some steps of faith too, brother. Big ones. And God's honored it. So, anyone else here, thank you for not giving up. Thank you for not quitting. Because what you do is important that affects other people's lives. Amen? Amen. God bless you all. Blessings in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Pastor?
Amen. Well, we're blessed this morning. Amen? Praise God. Rich teaching with a lot of things going on in the realm of the Spirit. And I know you're picking up on those things. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, we received an offering for David Husky and his ministry. Praise God as he goes throughout the land teaching and preaching these wonderful truths. So if you need an envelope for your giving, lift your hand, please. His ushers will get you an envelope. You can make the check out to Cleveland Christian Fellowship. So we'll write one check. And as always, every single penny will go straight to him. Praise God. Already got mine. Already made it out. Glory to God. Amen, 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 amen. We don't have, there's not enough money in the world to buy what he taught us this morning, but we want to bless him. Praise God. Thank you, David. Thank you, man. Good stuff, brother. Good stuff. You know, I was going to share this with you at lunch. I don't tell the stories like I used to because these people have heard them a long time. But, you know, we don't live by miracles. We live by the Word of God. But we experience miracles just day after day and supernatural happenings and answers to prayer. And I talk about, you know, the word of faith and the baptism and the Holy and all those wonderful things. All those.